Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Ever stand in the toothpaste aisle just like totally overwhelmed by the sheer number of choices?
Yeah.
Well, today we're diving deep into a company that thrives on that very moment.
Okay.
Colgate-Palmolive.
All right.
Get ready to unpack their stellar third quarter performance in 2024. We're talking earnings presentations, 10Q reports.
Yeah.
Even peeking into their earnings call.
Looking forward to it.
So get ready, because we're about to brush up on some serious business insights.
What I think is so fascinating is that while a lot of the other big consumer giants are feeling the squeeze, Colgate-Palmolive is brushing those challenges aside.
Mm.
They're actually growing.
Interesting.
They're playing a different game entirely.
And this isn't just about toothpaste.
No, not at all.
We're talking global behemoth.
Huge.
Worth a cool $19.5 billion reaching over 200 countries.
Wow.
They've got their hands in oral care, pet nutrition, even personal and home care.
It's really impressive the reach that they have.
So their CEO is singing a tune of consistent growth.
Yes.
Boasting about strong organic sales. Which, by the way, means they're selling more stuff.
Right.
Not just hiking prices.
Exactly.
It's like if your lemonade stand made more money because you sold more lemonade.
Uh-huh.
Not just because you charged an extra 25 cents a cup.
I love that analogy.
That's what we're talking about here.
That's about real growth.
So they're selling more lemonade.
Yeah.
And they're feeling confident about it.
Absolutely.
But here's the kicker. They're doing this in a market where everyone else is battling fierce competition.
It's a jungle out there.
The wild world of e-commerce.
Right.
And even global curveballs like the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, there are so many challenges in this market.
It's a tough landscape to navigate.
For sure.
And yet they've bumped their organic sales growth prediction to a whopping 7% to 8%.
That's a big jump.
With earnings per share expected to jump between 10% and 11%.
Wow.
Plus, they're saying their profit margin, the amount they actually pocket from each sale, is going up too.
That's incredible.
I mean, these aren't just numbers. These are signs of a company that knows what it's doing.
Absolutely.
And their financial reports back it up.
Yeah.
Net sales up 9.5% in Q3.
Okay.
Organic sales up 8%.
Hmm.
Operating profit.
Yes.
Over $1 billion.
Really?
A 4% increase.
So they're managing costs effectively.
It seems like they're doing something right.
They really are.
But they're not immune to the rising cost of, well, everything.
Right. No one is immune to that these days.
But they're playing it smart.
Yeah.
They're expecting those material costs to nudge up a bit, mostly due to currency exchange rates.
Makes sense.
But here's their plan.
Okay.
They're offsetting those increases with savings from their Funding the Growth initiatives.
Right.
Basically streamlining operations to free up cash.
Okay.
And their 2022 Global Productivity Initiative, which is all about doing more with less. Okay, so they're saving money, which means
they can put it back into the business.
Exactly.
Instant growth.
They can pump those savings right back into things like advertising, reaching even more customers.
It's a smart strategy.
It's a cycle of smart growth.
Absolutely.
And what's growth without some cool new stuff, right?
Of course. You need innovation.
Colgate-Palmolive is all over innovation.
They are.
Their oral care game is strong.
It really is.
Think a dazzling array of whitening products.
Yeah, they have a great whitening portfolio.
From in-office treatments to that new and improved Optic White overnight pen you can use at home.
Right.
They're hitting all the touch points.
From chair to sink, you could say.
Globally, they're leading the charge in toothpaste market share growth.
Yeah, it's like they've cornered the market on pearly whites.
But here's where their strategy gets really savvy.
Okay.
They're not just throwing products at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Right.
They're hyper-focused on tailoring launches to specific regions and needs.
That's really smart.
For example, in Latin America, they're tackling oral health proactively with Colgate Total Active Prevention.
Okay.
In India, they revamped their Colgate Max Fresh with a brand new formula.
Interesting.
And here in the U.S., they're winning over new customers with Eltam MD sunscreen specifically designed for deeper skin tones.
Oh, I see.
Tapping into a market that's been historically underserved.
That's a great move.
Let's not forget our furry friends.
Oh, of course, the pets.
In pet nutrition, they're enticing new pet parents with Hill's Science Diet Variety Packs.
I love those variety packs.
Who can resist those cute little sample sizes?
So true.
At the same time, they're catering to specific dietary needs with Hill's Prescription Diet, ZD, showing they understand the complexities of pet health.
They really do their research.
It's almost like they're playing 4D chess while everyone else is struggling with checkers.
It's a whole other level of strategy.
It's that level of strategic thinking that sets them apart.
I agree.
They're not just reacting to the market. They're anticipating shifts and playing the long game.
They're thinking ahead.
So they're doing a lot of things right.
Yeah.
But how are they handling those market complexities we talked about?
Okay, let's break it down.
Let's start with the competition.
Right.
There are some fierce players out there, both local and multinational.
Lots of competition, for sure.
Absolutely. But remember, they're fighting back with targeted innovation, like those region-specific product launches we discussed.
Right. They're not trying to be everything to everyone.
They're not just spreading their resources thin.
Yeah.
They're laser-focused on where they can make the biggest impact.
It's about maximizing their strengths.
And then there's the whole changing retail landscape.
Right.
The rise of e-commerce has been a total game changer.
It's a whole new world.
How is Colgate-Palmolive adapting to that?
They're embracing it, I think.
They're embracing it head on.
Yeah.
They're investing heavily in their digital capabilities.
Yeah.
Using data analytics and even artificial intelligence to anticipate what consumers want and how they want to buy it.
Smart move.
They're not afraid of the online world.
No.
They're using it to their advantage.
They're ahead of the curve on that.
And of course, there are the geopolitical events like the war in Ukraine that add a whole other layer of complexity.
Yeah, yes, those external factors can be really challenging.
It's a delicate situation, but they're navigating it with a focus on providing essential products while managing the logistical challenges.
So they're prioritizing their customers.
They're showing a commitment to both their customers and their own resilience.
It's impressive how they're handling it.
Let's zoom in on North America for a second.
Okay.
They mentioned some softness in this market.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which might sound a little concerning at first.
Right.
It's mostly due to some timing issues with shipments and a slight dip in online sales for their skin health products.
I see.
However, they clarified that if you take those factors out of the equation, North America is actually holding steady.
So it's not as bad as it sounds.
So not a major red flag.
No, I don't think so.
They're already working on strategies to address those temporary hiccups in skin health.
Makes sense.
What about emerging markets?
Yeah.
Those are always interesting to watch.
They are. A lot of potential there.
Some of those markets did see a slower pace of organic sales growth. But it was in line with what Colgate-Palmolive expected.
Okay.
Remember, they made some significant price adjustments in these regions over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So a bit of a slowdown is to be expected.
Right.
Makes sense.
It does.
So what's the outlook?
What do they say about the future?
The good news is that sales volume is bouncing back in those markets.
Oh, good.
And they're predicting continued growth by focusing on getting their products into more households and emphasizing premium options.
So they're targeting both penetration and premiumization.
They're playing the long game, and it seems to be working.
That's a smart approach.
I love that we're seeing this theme of strategic shifts for sustained growth.
Yeah, it's a common thread.
Earlier, you mentioned they moved away from a democratic spending approach.
Right.
Which sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that means?
Well, imagine you have a budget for, say, your grocery shopping.
Okay.
A democratic approach would mean spreading that budget evenly across all categories. You spend the same amount on fruits, veggies, snacks, everything.
Uh-huh.
But what if you realized you could get more bang for your buck by, say, focusing on buying more fruits and veggies because they're healthier and more filling?
Okay, I see what you mean.
That's what Colgate-Palmolive is doing.
So they're being more strategic with their shopping cart, so to speak.
Exactly. They've shifted away from spreading their resources equally and are now laser focused on where they'll see the biggest returns.
And they're seeing positive results.
Yeah.
They're experiencing volume growth across all six of their divisions, which is pretty remarkable.
That's really impressive.
What are some specific examples of this targeted approach?
Sure.
I'm curious to see how it plays out in practice.
Well, for starters, they're pouring resources into higher growth segments within their existing categories.
Okay.
Think oral care, personal care, and pet nutrition.
Got it.
They're also investing heavily in building key capabilities that will help them stay ahead of the curve.
Like what?
Think innovation, digital tools, AI, e-commerce platforms, and data analytics.
It's like they're building their own toolkit for success.
Precisely. And they're not just focusing on technology. They're also strengthening their relationships with both consumers and professionals in fields like dentistry, veterinary care, and skin health.
No, that makes sense.
This helps them stay on top of evolving needs and trends.
It's like having a direct line to the people who are actually using their products.
Exactly.
They're also choosing their retail partners very carefully.
Right.
Instead of trying to be everywhere at once,
yeah,
they're targeting retailers that are poised for long-term growth, like those innovative discount formats and the increasingly popular club stores.
So they're aligning themselves with the right partners.
Speaking of strategic partnerships, let's talk about their U.S. oral care strategy.
Okay.
It sounds like they're paying close attention to this market.
They are. It's a big one for them.
They're definitely not resting on their laurels.
No.
While they hold a strong position in the U.S. oral care market, they're actively addressing recent share fluctuations.
I see. So they're not complacent.
Their strategy.
What are they doing?
A renewed focus on premiumization within the toothpaste category.
Premiumization.
Premiumization.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean?
I'm curious, too. What does that mean in this context?
It's all about offering products with enhanced benefits that consumers are willing to pay a premium for.
Okay.
Think whitening toothpaste with extra sparkle.
Right.
Sensitivity protection that goes above and beyond.
Uh-huh.
Or toothpaste with specialized ingredients for specific needs.
Got it.
They're basically taking their offerings up a notch to meet evolving consumer expectations.
So they're giving people more reasons to buy their products.
So instead of just offering basic toothpaste, they're giving consumers a reason to splurge a little.
Exactly. They're adding value.
And they're not just betting on premiumization alone.
No.
They're also tailoring their approach to different retail environments.
Okay.
They know that the traditional drugstore channel, where they've historically been strong, is facing some challenges.
Right, with the rise of online retailers and all that.
So they're adapting to those changes while also exploring opportunities in other channels.
Smart move.
So they're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Exactly. They're diversifying.
They're diversifying their approach and being very strategic about where they invest their resources.
It's all about being adaptable.
And then there's their success in China, which is a notoriously difficult market for a lot of companies to crack.
It is. China's a tough one.
Oh, it's their secret sauce.
How have they managed to do so well there?
Their success in China really highlights their agility and willingness to embrace new formats.
Mm.
They've been particularly successful in adapting to the rapidly growing club store format, which is a relatively new phenomenon in China.
Interesting.
For those of us who might not be familiar with club stores, can you explain what makes them so unique?
Sure. Think of a club store as a giant warehouse filled with bulk size items at discounted prices.
Okay.
You usually need a membership to shop there.
Right.
And they offer a wide range of products from groceries to electronics to clothing.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
They're becoming increasingly popular in China, especially among middle class consumers who are looking for value and convenience.
So Colgate-Palmolive is essentially tailoring its strategy to fit this new retail landscape.
Exactly. They're demonstrating that a global brand can still win by being locally relevant.
They're adapting their products, their marketing, and their distribution strategies to meet the specific needs and preferences of Chinese consumers.
It's impressive how they've managed to do that.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
Before we go any further, I want to pause and make sure we're connecting all this back to you, the listener.
Yeah, let's bring it home.
What are some key takeaways so far? What stands out to you? What's particularly relevant or intriguing?
Well, I think it's fascinating to see how Colgate-Palmolive is not just surviving, but thriving in this current market.
Yeah.
It's a really challenging environment for a lot of companies.
Yes.
But Colgate-Palmolive is demonstrating that it's possible to succeed by being strategic, data-driven, and adaptable.
They're not just reacting to the market, they're shaping it.
Absolutely. And they're proving that it's possible to achieve impressive financial results while still being a responsible corporate citizen. They're a great example of how a company can navigate a complex and ever-changing world while still staying true to its core values.
I think that's a great point to pause on. We'll be back in a moment to continue our deep dive into Colgate-Palmolive's performance.
Sounds good. We're back.
And ready to keep exploring what makes Colgate-Palmolive such a fascinating case study in success.
Yeah, it really is. It's inspiring to see a company not just surviving, but thriving in such a volatile global market.
You know what I find particularly interesting?
What's that?
It's their willingness to make those bold moves, like that shift away from the democratic spending approach we talked about.
Yeah.
It's like they're not afraid to shake things up a bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're ditching the spread it evenly method and getting laser focused with their investment.
I see what they're doing.
It's like they're saying, okay, we've got this basket of resources.
Yeah.
Where can we plant those seeds to yield the biggest harvest?
That's a great way to put it. And it's working. We're seeing them zero in on those high growth segments within their core categories, oral care, personal care, and pet nutrition. It's about recognizing where the momentum is and capitalizing on it.
It's like they're riding the wave.
Exactly.
But it's not just about pouring money into those categories,
right? No, it's more than that.
They're also investing in the tools and capabilities that will allow them to win in those spaces.
They're building a solid foundation.
It's like they're saying, okay, we need to equip ourselves for the journey ahead.
Yeah.
What are the essential tools we need to succeed in this new landscape?
Exactly.
So they're investing in innovation, digital technologies, AI, e-commerce, and data analytics.
All the key ingredients for success in the modern business world.
It's like they're creating this positive feedback loop where they invest in these capabilities, which helps them spot the most promising opportunities, leading to even more targeted investments.
It's a smart cycle.
It's a recipe for sustainable growth.
Absolutely.
And they're not just focused on internal capabilities.
No, they're looking outward too.
Remember, they're also prioritizing relationships with both consumers and professionals in their respective fields.
Right, building those connections.
Dentists, veterinarians, dermatologists, they're tapping into those networks to stay ahead of the curve.
It's like having a team of advisors helping them stay informed.
It's like having a panel of experts constantly feeding you insights about what's happening on the ground. What are people actually struggling with? What are they looking for in a product? That kind of information is gold.
It is. It's invaluable. And they're not limiting themselves to just one type of retail partner either. They're being very strategic, focusing on those retailers that are aligned with their growth goals. Think those innovative discount formats and those club stores that are popping up everywhere.
So they're playing the field, adapting to the changing retail landscape, and making sure they're where the consumers are.
Exactly. It's all about being flexible and responsive to the market.
Okay, so we've talked about their overall approach. Now, I'm curious to dive into some specific areas where they're seeing success. Let's start with the U.S. oral care market. We know it's a competitive space, and they've had some share fluctuations recently.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they're tackling that.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear how they're addressing those challenges. What's their game plan?
What's their strategy?
They're tackling it head on. Their strategy hinges on premiumization. They're betting that even in a price-sensitive market, consumers are willing to pay a bit more for enhanced benefits.
Okay, so they're going up market.
I can see that. People are increasingly interested in those specialty toothpastes, whether it's for extra whitening, sensitivity protection, or even those with natural ingredients. It's almost like toothpaste has become a status symbol.
Yeah, there's definitely a trend toward that, and Colgate-Palmolive is recognizing it and capitalizing on it.
They're not just offering basic toothpaste anymore, they're giving consumers a reason to trade up.
Right, they're adding value and justifying the higher price.
But it's not just about premiumization,
yeah.
Right? They're also adapting to the changing retail landscape, especially within the drugstore channel.
Yeah, they have to stay agile.
They recognize that the drugstore channel, which has traditionally been their stronghold, is facing some headwinds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're adjusting their approach while also exploring opportunities in other channels.
Makes sense. They can't afford to be complacent.
It's like they're saying, we're not going to put all our eggs in one basket. We're going to diversify and be present wherever our consumers are shopping.
Smart move.
They're spreading their bets and being very deliberate about where they invest their resources.
It's a balanced approach.
And then there's their success in China. That's always a fascinating case study. It's such a unique and complex market, and so many companies struggle to break through there. What's Colgate-Palmolive doing differently?
It's a tough nut to crack.
Their success in China really boils down to two key factors: adaptability and local relevance. They're not afraid to embrace new formats, like those club stores we talked about, and they're tailoring their approach to meet the specific needs and preferences of Chinese consumers.
So they're striking that balance between global scale and local sensitivity.
It's like they've cracked the code on how to be both a global powerhouse and a locally loved brand.
Exactly. They're demonstrating that it's not an either or proposition. You can be both, and that's a powerful message.
Okay, so we've covered their overall strategy. We've zoomed in on specific areas of success. Now I want to bring this back to the listener. Why should they care about all of this? What are the bigger implications of Colgate-Palmolive's performance?
Good question. Let's connect the dots.
I think there are several key takeaways here for anyone who's interested in business, consumer trends, or even just the global economy. First and foremost, Colgate-Palmolive's success is a testament to the power of data-driven decision-making.
Yeah, they're not just guessing. They're using information to guide their actions.
They're not just flying by the seat of their pants. They're using data and analytics to understand their consumers, identify opportunities, and make strategic investments.
It's a smart approach, and it's paying off.
That's a valuable lesson for any business leader, regardless of their industry. Data is everywhere. The key is knowing how to use it effectively to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. It's all about turning that data into actionable insights.
Colgate-Palmolive is showing us that it's possible to use data to drive innovation, tailor your approach to different markets, and stay ahead of the curve.
They're a great example of how data can be a real competitive advantage.
They're also demonstrating the importance of agility and adaptability in a rapidly changing world. Companies need to be able to adjust to new realities and embrace new technologies if they want to survive, let alone thrive.
It's about being flexible and open to change.
Colgate-Palmolive is a prime example of this. They're not afraid to try new things, experiment with different formats, and even pivot their strategies when necessary.
They're constantly learning and evolving.
And they're doing all of this while staying true to their core values.
That's important.
They're committed to sustainability, social responsibility, and building strong relationships with their stakeholders. It's not just about the bottom line for them.
Consumers appreciate that. They want to support companies that align with their values.
That's a crucial point. Consumers are increasingly demanding that companies be more than just profit-driven machines. They want to see companies that are making a positive impact on the world.
It's about doing well by doing good.
Colgate-Palmolive is proving that it's possible to be both successful and responsible. They're showing that it's possible to do well by doing good.
It's a great example for other companies to follow.
Their story is a source of optimism in a world that can often feel chaotic and uncertain. They're a reminder that companies can still thrive by embracing innovation, adapting to change, and staying true to their values.
It's a hopeful message.
Well said. I think that's a powerful message. We've gone from a high-level overview of Colgate-Palmolive's performance to a granular analysis of their strategies and initiatives. It's been a fascinating journey, but now as we wrap up this deep dive, I'd love to leave our listeners with a final thought, something to ponder.
Yeah, a little food for thought.
Perhaps a question to spark further exploration.
I like that.
What's that one provocative idea that emerges from all of this? Something that wasn't explicitly stated but lingers in the air.
What really stands out to me is how Colgate-Palmolive manages to be both global and local at the same time.
It's a tough balancing act.
It is. They're this massive multinational corporation, yet they're winning by adapting to the nuances of individual markets. It raises a really important question. In a world that's becoming increasingly interconnected, how can companies best navigate that tension between global scale and local sensitivity? It's a challenge many companies are grappling with today.
It's a challenge that Colgate-Palmolive seems to be mastering, at least for now.
They're setting a good example.
Their success suggests that it's not an either proposition. It's about finding a way to be both global and local, to leverage your scale while still being responsive to the unique needs of different markets.
It's about finding that sweet spot.
It's a powerful insight.
Yeah.
And it's one that will only become more relevant as the world continues to evolve.
Yeah.
So as you reflect on everything we've discussed today, think about how this applies beyond just consumer goods. Are there areas in your own life where you need that global view, but also that localized execution?
It's a question worth asking ourselves.
Maybe it's in how you approach your work, your relationships, or even your own personal goals. The principles we've unpacked here, data-driven decisions, agility, understanding your audience, those are universally valuable.
Those are great takeaways.
While we've been deep diving into Colgate-Palmolive's world, we've really unearthed tools and insights that you can take with you anywhere.
It's about applying these lessons to our own lives.
And perhaps that's the most important takeaway of all. It's not just about learning about one company's success. It's about extracting principles that can empower your success, whatever that looks like.
It's about finding inspiration and taking action.
So whether you're a consumer, an investor, or just someone who's fascinated by the dynamics of the global market, there's something here for you.
There's always something to learn.
And remember, this deep dive is just the beginning. The real learning happens when you take these ideas, these insights, and start applying them to your own world.
Right. It's about taking that next step.
What will you do differently based on what you've learned today?
That's the question we should all be asking ourselves.
That's the question we hope will stay with you long after this episode ends. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Colgate-Palmolive's success. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning.
And keep brushing.
You know, it's pretty amazing how Colgate-Palmolive manages to stay so connected to all those different types of consumers.
Right.
While they're operating on such a massive global scale.
Yeah, it's impressive. They're really good at understanding those little differences.
The nuances.
Yeah, the nuances of each market and then adapting their strategies. They're not afraid to change their playbook.
To fit the local tastes.
Exactly. Based on what people want in that specific place.
And that's a lesson that you can apply far beyond just consumer goods.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about it. In your own life.
Yeah.
Are there areas where you need to balance that big picture view with a more localized approach?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's in how you manage your personal finances.
Mm-hmm.
You need that solid overall budget, but then you also have to adjust your spending habits based on your immediate needs.
Right, like unexpected expenses.
Or maybe it's in how you approach your career. You might have those big long-term goals.
Yeah.
But you also have to be adaptable.
To seize those opportunities that come up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The principles we've been talking about.
Those core ideas.
Data-driven decision-making.
Being agile.
Agility. Understanding your audience.
It's like a toolkit for success.
Those are all valuable no matter what you're doing.
In any situation.
So while this deep dive has been all about Colgate-Palmolive, we've really uncovered some universal truths about what it takes to succeed in today's world.
Those fundamental principles.
And that's the beauty of it.
You can use them anywhere.
You can take these insights.
Apply them to your own life.
Exactly. Mm. Whether you're a seasoned business leader or just starting out.
There's something for everyone.
So as we wrap up this episode, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
Colgate-Palmolive's success is a reminder that in a world that's constantly changing, the ability to adapt is key.
Being able to adjust is so important.
And remember, adaptation isn't about abandoning your core values.
Right.
It's about finding creative ways to stay true to yourself while also responding to the evolving needs of the world around you.
It's about finding that balance.
You keep exploring.
Keep asking those questions.
Keep questioning.
And keep learning.
Keep learning. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Colgate-Palmolive. Until next time, keep those pearly whites shining.
And that's a wrap.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.